Good morning. It is time for us to start our early morning teaching hour, our Sunday school hour. We're going to be looking at Psalm 134, the last in the Psalms of Ascents. And if you'll come in, have a seat. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. This will be a time of encouragement and thanksgiving for what God has done in all of our lives and how we are to proceed in our daily walk, praying that God sanctifies our walk each and every day, learning what God has us to learn from Psalm 134. If you'll bow with me, please. Father, we do thank you for this day and the blessings you've given us. We thank you, Father, for this season of thanksgiving, that we have had an opportunity to gather, hopefully with family and friends, and to come together, Father, with a thankful heart, enjoying the blessings of family and friends, and understanding all of the blessings that we have flow from your hand, because, Father, you are a sovereign God. Because, Father, you are above all things, and though you dwell in the highest heavens, and you deign to come down to this earth and to be a guide and a director of the affairs of men, that you're actively involved in our lives, that we may understand and know that you are a sovereign God in control of all situations, and you're bringing about that time when Jesus, your Son, will come and be ruling on this earth. We thank you, Father, for the psalm that we have to look at, a psalm of thanksgiving and a psalm of remembrance of the service that is due your name. And we thank you, Father, for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to Psalm 134, and as our brother who has passed recently, Herb Langthorpe, would say, it is providential that we have come to this point in the Psalms of Ascents. The Psalms of Ascents are those psalms that traditionally are understood to be that time when the Israelites would make pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They would go up to the mountain of God. They would go up to the city of God, Jerusalem. They would go into the temple of God. And their purpose was to sacrifice and give praise and honor and glory to the God that has given them all blessings. And they did that with a thankful heart. And as we look through the Psalms of Ascents, we find they were thankful even remembering the times of judgment that God brought upon the nation, because it was a righteous and right thing for God to do. And it showed that his faithfulness to his word. God is faithful in his blessings, and God is faithful in his discipline of his own. This is a time for us to remember after this Thanksgiving time in the United States that our blessings come from the very hand of God. And we praise him and honor him for that. And these Israelites would make pilgrimage maybe once or twice or three times a year. They would go up for the Feast of Tabernacles. They would go up for the Feast of First Fruits. They would go up for the Passover Feast. And their desire was to be with the people of God, having fellowship with the people of God, praising and worshiping God with thanksgiving in the temple. We look at a time now at the end of a week of thanksgiving, potentially, for these Israelites. And this psalm, for several of the commentators, was noted to be more of a responsive psalm. The first two verses being the people singing out to the servants of the Lord in the temple, telling them to continue serving God, praising God, because he was worthy of being blessed and honored and gloried. And the third verse is thought to be a response of those in the temple to the people, causing them to remember that God blesses his people. There was a desire to bless the Lord, to thank him for his provisions. There was a desire to bless and praise his holy name before the people. And it was a desire on the heart of the people to be a blessed people of God. Psalm 134. It's a short psalm, but packed. We need to unpack it. says, "Behold, bless the Lord, all the servants of the Lord, who serve by day and by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." This word "behold" in the first verse means to take notice, to consider these words, to marvel at what God has indicated here, to see it, to understand it, to think about it, meditate upon it, have it on your heart, pay attention to it. And I only went into the Psalms of Ascents, but this word "behold" is used another five times in just the Psalms of Ascents. And each time there's an understanding we are to pay attention. We're encouraged to be zealous in looking into God's Word and understanding what He has for us to know. Looking at Psalm 121, verse 4, it says, "Behold, the Lord, He who keeps Israel, will neither sleep nor slumber." And that word "Lord" is what is used throughout the Psalms of Ascents. It is Yahweh, it is Jehovah, the sovereign, covenant-keeping Creator God, the eternal God, the one that is self-sufficient, the God of the nation of Israel. He is faithful. And He is faithful to the point where it doesn't matter day or night what we are involved in, what our situations are. God is not sleeping and unaware of what our circumstances are. He is able to address whatever is in our life. Not only is He able to address it, the Lord God is sovereign over controlling our circumstances of our life. Psalm 123, verse 2, "Behold, the eyes of God's servants look to the hand of their master, and they look for Him to graciously give to them." There's a desire on the heart of God's people, and the psalmist, by inspiration, is told by God, remember that you are a servant of the Lord God, and look to Him for any blessings that you have in your life. Look to Him constantly, continuously, in prayer and expectation, knowing that He is able to provide what we need. Psalm 128, verse 4, "Behold, the man shall be blessed if he fears the Lord." And we get to have an understanding. Scripture tells us how we become blessed by the Lord, because the Lord tells us right here, if we fear Him, we will be blessed. Now, that's not, I'm afraid of what the Lord might do to me. It is a reverential awe of the Lord God, who is in control of all things. We understand that from Scripture. God has so written His Scriptures through so many authors at various times, but it is so consistent in what the Lord has for us to know. And if we want to know where the blessings of God come from, it comes from knowing Him, knowing the Word. And I would go especially to Psalm 19, the Psalm of David, and understanding how precious the Word is. It's like gold, it's like honey to our lips. And we should pay attention to it. We should look to it. We should go to Psalm 119 and consider that the psalmist there, 170 plus verses, loves the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the statutes of God, the precepts of God, the promises of God, the covenants of God, the commandments of God. All of these things are precious to the one who knows the Lord and desires to praise Him and glorify Him, revering His name. Psalm 132, verse 6, "Behold, the Hebrews heard of David's devotion to the Lord to build a dwelling place for the Lord in Zion." And we know David wanted to build the temple. He wanted to have a place for the Lord in Jerusalem, in the midst of God's people, in the midst of God's nation, where the people would constantly be reminded of God's presence as in them as a nation. We also know that God did not allow David to build that temple. But it says in Psalm 132, 6, that the people of the nation knew of David's devotion to the Lord. That was what they understood and knew about David. He didn't build the temple. his desire was to be devoted to the Lord and to have the people's desire to be devoted to the Lord. This was known throughout Israel. Psalm 133, verse 1, we just went over the last time. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell together in unity. I tell you, this is an encouragement for the nation of Israel, the people of God, that when they come together at the feast times in Jerusalem to worship God, they were coming together with people of like mind and kindred heart. They were desiring to worship God, praise God. They were devoted to Him and devoted to one another. That is why it is good to dwell in the midst of God's people. I know I have mentioned this before. I mention it again. I've been told by multiple people over the years that I don't need to go to church to be able to worship God. No, you do not. You do need to go to church to be in the fellowship with other like-minded believers where you can experience encouragement and ministry and be built up in the faith. To be encouraged as iron sharpening iron, learning from each other the Word of God, enjoying fellowship with one another, having a ministry to do unto the Lord among God's people. This is understood by the Israelite. How good it is for brothers to dwell in unity. Here in Psalm 134, verse 1, it says, Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord who serve or stand by night in the house of the Lord. Specifically being called out for the people that are ministering in God's house to serve God. I mean, this is not just do your duty. You should be joyful about being able to be called to do God's work. The people are told to bless the Lord. This is not something understood that people, the servants of God, can do for the Lord, as if He needs something from any of us, or we could provide anything to Him that is needful on His part. This is to speak good of His name, to consider the wonders of His works, to praise Him, and remembering, as we do, that this is addressed to Jehovah, Yahweh, the eternal, sovereign, covenant-keeping, loving Creator God. This is the one we come to praise and bless His name. And there's an exhortation to those serving in the temple. You know, praise God. Bless His name. Do what you're doing, even at night. Now, during the day, the temple was a very busy place. Lots of comings and goings, lots of teaching, lots of ministerings. At night, it was a little bit more subdued. There were activities that had to be done. They were more mundane. These activities were to be done as if they were blessing the Lord God. It was He who they did these works for. If we could extend that a bit, every one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been saved by His grace are servants of God. Paul calls himself a bondslave of Jesus Christ, a loving servant who does the work of the Lord. That is what we should be doing as well. In the psalm here, it is calling out to those who were set aside for the ministry in the temple. But it doesn't change the fact that we should all be ministering to the Lord, praising His name in whatever we do, whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do, we should do everything as if it's unto the Lord. We're to do it without grumbling or complaining. This is not a job. This should be a love and a joy of our lives, to be able to serve the Lord in the midst of God's people and in the midst of the people who are not God's people. We should be a testimony, an example before the Lord and before the nations. And God called Israel to be that as well. An example before the nations, a testimony before the world of God's grace and mercy, kindness and compassion, and His redemption through a Savior. who was to come and seek and save the lost. If we went to 1 Chronicles 9, verses 10 to 33, we could see the duties set out there, originally set up by David and Samuel for the tabernacle worship that extended into the temple worship. And we saw the work of the priests to offering sacrifices of thanksgiving before the Lord, of standing in between man, the Israelites, and God. It says that they were there and they were incorporated in this work of service to the house of the God, and they were very able men. God had called a people to worthy to come and to serve before him. The work of the Levites. The Levites did a lot of work in the service of the Lord. And it reminds me of our church body and how it works together to accomplish all of the things that are necessary in this church. The Levites, they were considered people who were trusted in their offices of the duties that they performed. They were appointed, like I said, appointed originally for service in the tabernacle by David and Samuel. They maintained the serving vessels, the furnishings of the temple, the implements of the sanctuary. They had oversight of all of the flour, wine, oil, incense, and spices that were used in the worship services. They baked the showbread every Sabbath day. There were singers who were set and intended to sing praises to the Lord day and night. Day and night. David originally talked about setting up choirs of singers that within Jerusalem you would always be hearing praises, songs being sung to the Lord, and those were sung by the Levites. So in this psalm, as some have been looking at it, they see this verse one as a call to these servants of the Lord in the sanctuary and the temple to continue their work of serving the Lord. And perhaps these pilgrims, as they're getting up early in the morning on after the week of feasting that they have done and the sacrifices that they have paid with thanksgiving, you're talking about a desert kind of country. If you're going to travel, you want to start early. So it's possible that they were starting out even before sunrise. And this would be a call to those who were the last night watchmen, the last ones that are singing on the overnight, to continue to bless the Lord. They were exhorted to continue their service to the Lord of blessing and praise to him. And, you know, some have said that this is possible, that these are things that were responsively, pardon me, were sung from the ministers in the temple, one to another, that as they would come upon somebody serving in the temple, they would say, "Bless the Lord." And, pardon me, the response would be for the Lord to bless them. Psalm 134, verse 2 says, "Lift up your hand." Pardon me. "Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. This lifting up of the hands is a common posture for the Hebrews at the time when they came to the Lord in prayer, and they would lift their hands to the Lord. Two thoughts on that is there's a lifting up of the hands in praise and honor and glory to the one who is able to provide all blessings. Another one would be an understanding that, Lord, I need your blessing. I desire your blessing. I know any blessing I have comes from you. Now, we occasionally have people that raise their hands in blessings to God during singing or during prayer. Absolutely appropriate. Absolutely appropriate. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord and bless him. Lifting up the hands, as I said, was a common posture for prayer for the Israelites, voicing grateful blessing to the Lord. And we can see various places in Scripture where this is referenced. Psalm 135, verses 1 to 6, and we'll be looking at this next time, says, "Praise ye the Lord." And I'm sorry, I copied, obviously, a New King James version. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." So we know and understand that God has a pleasure in hearing his people Israel pray to him, praise him above all things. Verse 5 of Psalm 135, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all the deep places." There's not a place affected in this world that God has not created, made, and maintains. We know that God sustains and maintains all that has been created by the power of his word. And this is understood in the Psalms for those who are to praise God. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4, one of my favorite passages. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." I like the King James, I believe it is, that says, "not one of his benefits." Don't forget even one thing that God has provided to us. "Because he pardons all of your iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our lives from the pit. And he crowns us with loving kindness and compassion." We are to praise the Lord. We are to bless the Lord for all of his benefits and redemption, salvation by the grace of God, the compassion of God, is called for us to bless his holy name. Psalm 28, verse 2 says, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help in the midst of a trial, tribulation, when I have a circumstance in my life that requires me to be diligent and cry to the Lord." It says, "When I lift my hands up to your holy sanctuary," it's crying out. I think of Daniel in the midst of captivity, coming to an understanding that the 40 years of captivity are about expired, and he's praying before the Lord. But even before that, he would pray three times a day with his face toward Jerusalem. He knew where God had a desire to be in the midst of his people. It wasn't in Babylon, but he was there. Daniel looked to the Lord and prayed toward Jerusalem. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 5. Let me see. I may have marked that. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 5. It's a says, Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And he says, "O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly, for my soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory, because thy loving kindness is better than life. With my lips I will praise thee, so I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul is satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips." David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, was most likely at the time when he was being pursued by Saul to be put to death by Saul. And in the midst of that, in the midst of the desert, in the midst of the dryness, being thirsty and hungry and being pursued, David looks to bless and praise the Lord with joyful lips. This is an exhortation to us as believers. Whatever circumstance we find ourselves, whatever situations are in our lives that say things seem to be falling apart, we are to remember that God is blessing us in all situations. He is bringing about blessing for us in whatever we experience. But we are to be joyful and praising Him because He sovereignly controls whatever is coming about. Paul, when he's talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:8, says, "I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere." And we're told to be praying constantly, continuously, all the time. And Paul desired for men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, clean hands, without wrath or doubting. Now, how do we lift up clean hands before the Lord? There's only one way. And that way comes through the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ washes us white, cleanses us of sin, so that we are able to have communion with a holy and righteous and sovereign God. We can do so joyfully. It is not something that depends on our activity, our gifts, our abilities. It depends only on God who has provided salvation. Lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And we need to be in God's Word to understand what God has for us to know about Him. We need to be in God's Word to know that we are to be praising Him for all that He is accomplishing and understand what He has done in the past. Understand what He is doing in our very situations of today. And look forward to those promises of what God has promised in the future. Those serving in the temple are called on to continually lift their hands up to bless the Lord, the God of Israel. For He is the one who has determined that He will bless Israel from Zion. Not only Israel. Lord God is going to bless the whole earth. And that is throughout Scripture conveyed. And what the Israelites were to be a testimony of in this world. They were to be a blessing and a testimony of God's grace and His provision and His redemption, His salvation, His sovereignty before the nations, with an understanding that man is sinful, in need of a Savior, in need of being redeemed, and looking forward to, they were looking forward to the coming of that Redeemer, the one who would seek and save His people and save them from their loss. Ultimately, saints are going to be in the very presence of God, blessing His holy name in the sanctuary in heaven. It says Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 to 15, John in the presence of the elders and the angels that are singing praises to God. And boy, I would love to hear that. We've got several people in our congregation who are experiencing that very thing right now, whose illnesses have been cast out, who are there just being able to praise and glorify God in song with the very angels, myriads of angels, thousands and thousands of angels. And John is there in the midst of the elders and the angels, and one of the elders said to John, "Who are these people that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And John said to the angel that was taking him through this, he said, "You know the answer. Tell me." And the angel said, "And these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne dwells in their very midst." Looking forward to the day when we are in the midst of being able to sing praises to God in His very throne room. Until then, my expectation is, in the midst of our services here at this church, that when we have singing and the congregation is intended to sing, that you're singing joyously, you're singing enthusiastically, you're singing with thanksgiving to the Lord God, for His blessings that are showered upon us. Alexander McLaren, a early Scottish minister, pastor for 40 years, said regarding Psalm 134, verse 2, "They," that is, those servants of God working in the temple, "are exhorted to fill the night with prayer and singing, as well as watchfulness, and to let their hearts go up in blessing to Jehovah. The voice of praise should have been echoing through the silent night and be floating over the sleeping city." It was to be a place where you constantly were made aware and understood the praise deserved by the Lord. Psalm 134, verse 3, "May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth." So like I said, verses 1 and 2 is that this exhortation to those who are ministering in the temple. Not only those who ministered in the temple, we should extend that to any servant of God. Should be serving with their whole heart. They should be serving joyously. They should be praising the Lord for all that He has done. And then, yes, our expectation is God is able to bless us. And not only is He able, but He will bless us. We don't know how, but that's why we pray. That's why we pray to the Lord and ask Him to bless every situation we find ourselves in. May the Lord bless you from Zion. Of course, this has been prescribed to be a response of the ministers in the temple to those who are outside or to the congregation. May God bless you. One of the great prayers of blessing to the Israelites is found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to 27. And when I read, you will recognize it. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses," this is the Lord spoke to Moses, "saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons," that's the Aaronic priesthood who would be serving the Lord in the tabernacle, "in this way you shall bless the sons of Israel." You shall bless the sons of Israel. "You are to say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you peace." This blessing actually has been found. I came across an excerpt that says this blessing was important in the lives of the ancient Israelites. It was attested to by having a copy found in the excavations of Ketef Hinnom to the southwest of Mount Zion and the old city of Jerusalem. In digging in the compound of a burial complex, among the remains there was a phylactery. A phylactery was typically a leather box that contained a small scroll that had a scripture written on it for the blessing or the exhortation or the encouragement of the one, and they would carry it on their head or on their hand. They found one of these phylacteries in a burial complex that was dated from the 7th to the 6th century BC. It was about this big, two little boxes, or a box containing two little scrolls, and those scrolls were this verse, Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27. One was a summary, a smaller excerpt of it, and one was the whole verse. It was intended for them to be able to walk about each and every day and be able to open that phylactery and to unroll that little scroll and concentrate, meditate on the verse. That would be an encouragement to them. We don't see it recalled, reported as a phylactery, but in Deuteronomy 6:8 and Deuteronomy 11, 18, and Exodus 13, 9, and Exodus 13, 16, you hear and you read that they were to have these words of God on their head and on their hand each day so that they could remember. And especially what they remember in Exodus was the time of the redemption of Israel out of the land of Egypt, a redemption story. And they would keep these scrolls in a phylactery. They would keep it on their hand and on their head, that they would remember the great and mighty works of the Lord for them. This says to bless the sons of the Lord of Aaron, have them bless the people. There is to be a remembrance that God's blessing always has in mind our greatest good. It's always an exhortation for us to be encouraged by what God has done. It's to be kept by the Lord. We understand that the Lord ensures life and peace in our midst. To know that God looks upon us implies that the Lord is well pleased with the servants of His. What better thing to think of than to think that in our service to the Lord that He looks down, and I can't help but think He smiles. His face shines upon us. And it's not for something that we are able to do. It's not because of our abilities. It's because God has called us. God has provided a ministry for us. And He moves in us through the Spirit to do His will. God is gracious. God gives us beyond anything that we are God gives us beyond anything we can imagine. He gives us more than we deserve. In His mercy, He does not punish us as we deserve. In His grace and His mercy and His compassion and His kindness and His love, He has provided salvation and redemption for us. He looks favorably upon us if we are a child of His. And God provides peace. We can't find peace anywhere else in this world like the peace that God affords. It's a peace to our soul. It provides wholeness and goodness and satisfaction. It's not based on the circumstances we are in at this time. It is based on God's loving kindness toward us, Jehovah, the God who is all sufficient. He's all kind and good. He does all things for His glory, but He does all things for our good. And if we look at Romans, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God promises that. Everything that we are experiencing, every situation God has promised will be to His glory and for our good. And how do we know that's true? Because God's the maker and creator of all things. You know, we could, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep. If we go to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, He was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God. And all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. Not only did God create, God sustains, He maintains. We are so blessed. We could go to Genesis chapter 2 all the way through of the many things that God created in the beginning, but our knowledge and understanding of God as creator is throughout the scriptures. Genesis to Revelation describes God as the maker and creator. If we don't believe that God is the creator of this universe, this earth, we have to deny a substantial portion of Scripture. We cannot do that. Recurring throughout the Psalms of Ascents is the need to praise and glorify God's name. In this concluding psalm of ascents, Psalm 134, the congregation is calling to those who minister in God's house to be encouraged and to continue to bless and praise God's name. And the people that minister in those places, in that temple for the Israelites, in our churches for us as Christians, continually let us know that God blesses us and keeps us, encourages us, and as a family of believers, as a fellowship of saints, it is good to dwell in unity with the Lord, with the believers. In conclusion, at Christ's ascension, and he gave a blessing to his disciples that were there at the mount, Luke 24, verses 50 to 53, and it says, as he led them out as far as Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he departed from them and was carried into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. For the Israelites, being in the temple praising God with joy for what God has done was essential. For us, understanding Jesus as our Savior, he's the Savior of all men, we are to rejoice with great joy, praise God, enjoy him forever. We start now. We continue now. Continually praying, continually praising. And when we come to our worship service and there's congregational singing, we need to be singing joyfully to the Lord. Would you bow with me, please? Father, we do thank you for this time we've had to look into your word and to understand, Father. All of your book is inspired. It's profitable for teaching and correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God might be adequate, prepared for every good work. We know, Father, that your word is inspired by you. It's not a matter of one's own personal understanding, but men of God moved by your Spirit wrote your very words. And they are good for us to know and to understand and to encourage one another with. Thank you, Father, for all of these things, and we thank you for the blessings you continue to shower upon us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.